then. It's always good to go back to your roots, go back to that foundation, reminding ourselves, confessing before men, bringing that to remembrance, what God has done for us. Also this morning, if you will turn in your bulletins, we are continuing to work through Article 1 of the Belgic Confession. This will be the third installment on this article. Article 1. There is only one God. We all believe with the heart and confess with the mouth that there is one only simple and spiritual being, which we call God, and that he is eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, infinite, almighty, perfectly wise, just, good, and the overflowing fountain of all good. So we have been considering, again, like I said before, we're looking at the attributes of God, and we don't separate one attribute from another, just like we don't separate various characteristics of an individual from another. We're looking at God and answering the question, well, what does the Bible teach? What do we understand what God is like? And last week, we looked at those aspects or those characteristics, those attributes of God, which are very difficult for us to comprehend because we can't relate to them. We looked at what it means for God to be eternal, incomprehensible, invisible, immutable, and infinite, and even, in a sense, almighty, although that's what we're going to be focusing in on today. What we're going to look at today is what I refer to as the communicable attributes, or those attributes that we can relate to. We do have power to be able to be here today. You had to exercise certain kind of power using your body to be here. So we understand the idea of being able to accomplish something. Also wisdom, justice, goodness, and the gift of that through his grace. And so these are personal attributes. This emphasizes his personal nature. It involves a conscious, intelligent, free, moral being. And so we understand that God is a person, and these are revelations of that personality. Earlier, it speaks about God being a spiritual being, or the spirituality of God, and we covered that 2 weeks ago. And so let us consider now these particular passages where it speaks about his intellectual attributes, his moral attributes, and his attributes of sovereignty. In our texts there, the first one, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in the heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. Both riches and honor come of thee, and thou reignest over all. And in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great, and to give strength unto all. John writes, and I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. It's interesting that when Solomon prayed that prayer, David prayed that prayer, and he speaks of, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand is to make great and to give strength unto all. And the Hebrew thinking was the hand was a representation of power. So he says, in your power is power and might, and in your power is to make great and to give strength unto all. He emphasizes over and over again God's power, God's authority, God's ability to accomplish His will. The Lord God omnipotent reigns. Does that bring comfort to us? It should. We at times see great powers in action. Sometimes we experience spiritual attacks from powerful creatures, principalities and powers. And yet God is the sovereign over all things. Nothing can stop His hand or say to Him, "What are you doing?" Nothing thwarts His will. We understand of His eternal decrees. They will be accomplished. Nothing can stop Him. We also confess that He is wisdom, that He has all knowledge, that He has or is the truth, perfectly wise. Again, the scriptures speak of these things. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the season. He removes kings. He sets up kings. Interesting time to mention that. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He reveals the deep and dark secrets. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. Paul writes, "Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory, honor, glory, forever and ever. Amen." Again, does that bring comfort to know that nothing surprises Him? He doesn't react. He knows all, and He executes His will in perfect knowledge and wisdom. And the amazing thing is that He delights in imparting that wisdom to us. As we read this morning out of the Proverbs, "Listen, my son, my daughter, listen to me. Here is wisdom. Turn from folly and live." And so He is perfectly wise, perfect in His wisdom. But furthermore, He is also good. God is love. God shows forth His grace and His mercy and His long suffering. He is just and He is good. God forbid, yea, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightest be justified in thy sayings and mightest overcome when thou art judged. But if our unrighteousness commendeth the righteousness of God, what shall we say? Is God unrighteous who takes vengeance? I speak as a man. God forbid. For then how shall God judge the world? God is the judge of all, and the just and perfect judge. Again, does that bring us comfort to know that God rules and will execute justice in time and eternity? When we are offended, when we are so tempted to take matters into our own hands, we have that grace, the knowledge to know that God will make all things right. There is no injustice, ultimately. All things shall be made right. We can rest in and find comfort in our just and holy God. But at the same time, He is also love and grace, merciful, long-suffering. He reveals that to Moses. Again, in Psalm, we read, or Exodus, yes, "The Lord passed by Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth." What is amazing to consider is this one has claimed us as his own children, as his own prized possession, and desires for us to be changed from glory to glory into his own image, in righteousness and true holiness, to be like him. Isn't that a wonderful goal that he has set before us? And he will accomplish that which he promises. It does bring great comfort to us, does it not? Amen. Amen.